This is an interview with John Dealey, better known as Jack Dealey. I'm speaking with Jack at his home in O'Connor, Canberra. I'm Barry York, and I'm recording this for the Old Parliament House Oral History Program. Jack, thank you very much for cooperating.
Thank you.
Today, we'd just like to ask you about that period from 1949 when you came to Canberra and as a policeman, joined the police force, up until the late 50s when you left the police force. We're particularly interested in your involvement with Old Parliament House. Now, you know that copyright is in this recording is owned by the Commonwealth, and I'll get you to fill out that form which allows you to set the conditions of access to this. Now, on behalf of the Director of Old Parliament House, I do want to thank you again for cooperating. Now, you were born in 1917 on a farm outside Shepparton.
That is so.
And we talked about your life for the National Library.
Yes.
But like I said, today we'll just be more focused on Parliament House and the politicians. So can I begin by asking, what are your memories of Canberra when you came up here in 1949?
I can remember very well. Very well I can remember.
So what was Canberra like as a city back then?
When I came here to Canberra, I got the surprise of my life. I thought I was going to see something, and all I seen was the two main buildings and the theatre and the Duntroon and the railway station. I was very disappointed in it.
Because you came up from Melbourne, is that right? Well,
that's right, I came up from Melbourne. They're thinking I was coming to another, more or less another nice city, but it was a back step to me.
Yeah. Had you joined the police force before you came up, or did you wait till you got here and then you joined?
No, I applied for the vacancy, and I came up and they accepted me straight away. As I had all the experience in Melbourne and that sort of thing, I went straight in as in the police force.
Yeah, because you joined the Victorian Police around 1939, didn't you?
I did.
And you were in the force for 5 years down there.
Yeah, I was in the Melbourne Police for 5 years, and then I was away for 4 years, and then I to help my brother out, and then I came back to Melbourne, and I spent another year there, and then things got too hot down there for me, so I got seen the opportunity, and I got away. I think just in time too.
Mm. Yeah, well, we talked about that on the National Library one, and it's quite a hair-raising story as to why you came to Canberra. Mm. So you applied, you got the job here in Canberra. Mm. What was the police force operating here? What was it, an ACT or New South Wales?
No, it was the ACT. It was the ATT. But it was very... In the end, it turned out very similar to what I was doing in Melbourne, but on a very minor sort of a comparison to what it was down there.
So what were your duties?
My duties was here. Well, we'd have to do all on the street, we'd have to do that, and we had court work, we had to do that, we had to do swearing in and all this sort of thing. I did the Supreme Court and the did for nearly 15 years, and we had that to do, and then we had the time, all the hostels, the people from overseas were coming here, and there was always a lot of trouble there. You'd be going there all the time. And then you'd have a Parliament House, and I did duty at the Parliament House itself and the Senate, both the lower and upper house. and I was involved in everything, which when the Queen and them came out, and when the Duke it was came out here, I did their escorts and that sort of way. When I was the lead cars in most of them, I attended all the functions they had out at the Prime Minister's Lodge and the Government House. I did all the functions there, and I run the Supreme Court, the Supreme Court for off and on for about 15 years. I did, and I was involved in many a case there, in the two murder cases in Canberra. I was on all those, and I did the court work for those two. Mm-hmm. But it was generally a Parliament House. Well, you'd have a stint there. You might be there for a couple of weeks, and then you'd be put off there, and somebody else would take over. And it just went off and on. And then you had the embassies here, the Petrov and all those. I was involved in all those sort of things there, which I can tell you if you wish.
Yes. What was your rank?
At that time I was just a ordinary constable. And that's when I come here.
When you said before that you had like street duties, what would they typically be?
Well, the street duties were that you'd come on in the morning. Right. You'd have to be duty at Manuka or Kingston, or the two of them together, or Civic. You would have to do that, because we didn't have that many men, so you're always doing something. And then the court came up, you'd have to be there to do it for the swearing in, giving the oaths and all of that, and swearing the people in. And you'd have that, and then if you had a bad one, you'd have to escort him to Goulburn, the jail at Goulburn. And that sort of thing we ran all the time.
And the Supreme Court, what did that involve?
Mm, that was the Prime, all the top, like that, the two murders was there. And I was involved in all that. And as a matter of fact, I was the one that was attended the murders. It was myself and Alec Urquhart, who did the carriage murder. I was there. And do you want me to explain that one?
Yeah, sure.
Well, we arrived. We were supposed to be there, so we arrived, and we had an interview with Mrs. Kerridge, and she said, "He's a terrible man," she said, "and he's abused me and knocked me around," she said, "and he's interfered with my daughter too," she said, "and I knew he's coming home," she said, "and I wasn't going to sit there and wait." So she said, "I put a Tommy X underneath my side of the bed, and when he came home, he turned around, he said, 'You've had it your way, I have it my way,'" and she said, "and he was going to attack me again, and I took the Tommy hooks out from underneath the bed, and I hit him, and I kept hitting him till it slipped out of my hand." So that's what happened. So when it came to the court, now she said, but on inspection, the wall was covered in blood, where she had belted him up, but I looked at him and he was lying naturally in bed with the blankets up around his neck. That anyway, it went to court and she won the case. But I had in my mind what I thought, but that was no. That's beside the point. But I did that one, and then we had the Mulwala one, where the cook over there had a girl in. She was a waitress at one of the hotels, and she liked a bit of a drink. So she got on the grog and was under the influence. And this bloke was there, and he spotted her now, and he followed her home, and he seen where she went, and she got into a caravan in the backyard of their home in Braddon, and he gave her about an hour's time to go to sleep and everything. And he went in that the end of the van, and as she was sleeping, he rolled her clothes up and exposed her breast, and he sucked her to his satisfaction. That was his failure. That was what he was. And I'll tell you, and later he told me the thing, he did that with his mother until he was 18. And I can tell you some very good stories on that one, on him. So anyway, he went home, he satisfied himself, went home, back to the Mulwala, and he got thinking about it, and he thought he'd go back again to give another try out. So he went back, and she was lying there with her breast still exposed, and he started again, and she woke up, and he took a bottle of whiskey out of his pocket, and he hit her over the head two or three times and killed her. Now, he didn't, he hit her and left her then. I got a report in the morning about 8 or 9 o'clock. I got a report to say that she had been, she was badly assaulted and badly hurt. I went over there and she was on the last of the, ready to go. It was, the bubbles were coming out of her mouth. So I got her to the ambulance and got her to hospital. And she came out, and then I came back and I said to the Rochford and the detectives, when have you had your last murder? And they said, we haven't had one. Well, I said, you'll have one in about a half an hour, I'd say. And sure enough, she died. Now, he was then, just a moment, the top detective from Sydney, I can't think of his name at the moment, they got him down here. And anyway, it was adjourned, and I had to take him back by plane to Sydney, to the jail in Sydney. And on our way there, he told me what happened. Admitted to me. So when I came back, I told him, but I said, he said, did you write it down? I said, no. Well, he said, it's no use. He said, we can't do much about it. But I said, well, listen, he's been here a week in the cell before I took him down. And I said, Russ Kennedy has been feeding him. And I said, he's fairly, fairly friendly with Russ Kennedy. I said, get Russ Kennedy to get really baity with him and see what he'll tell him.
Who was Russ Kennedy?
Russ Kennedy, a policeman.
Okay.
And he told him, and it was through that Russ Kennedy that he admitted to him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was arrested then. He was locked up charged with murder, and then the case went on from that. But come on, ask me whatever you like.
Yeah, well, I now we could talk more about the Parliament House duties.
Yeah.
When you mentioned the Senate and the House of Reps before, what would be your role there? Why would you be on duty?
Well,
there?
The role was really nothing. You were there to keep the peace if anything happened. And honestly, when I was there all the time, I was there. There was nothing happened, and to me, it was a dead end job. But the nice part was you got a nice meal at dinner time and sat up and had a nice free meal, and then you'd do your turn in the House of Representatives. Then you'd go to the Senate. You'd do the same thing there, but there was. There was really no, to me it was no excitement, but the only really one bit of excitement did happen was, I wasn't in Parliament at this day, but there was a person, he was a bit insane, and he was up in the gallery, and they come in with the mace to put in the, and put on the rack to say Parliament was in session, and when this bad bloke jumped down from the gallery onto the floor, from the top of the gallery onto the floor, and run up. I wasn't there this day, but this is what happened. He then grabbed the mace, and was off with it. Well, anyway, it took about four or five of the attendants to get him. Then he was brought up to the police station. up to the police station. And Roger was there, and they couldn't get anything out of him, you see. And he was a very aggressive, and they didn't know how to whether to attack him or not, you see. So when I come, and of course I was always there for the troublemaker, as any bad man,
was it Kelly?
Sergeant, anyway, he always called me, look, Satan. Yeah, that was the name. He said, listen, Satan, he said, well, see what you can do with this man. And soon as he said, there's Satan, that bloke stood up. He said, you're Satan. And I said, yes, mate. I said, now listen, do what I want you to do. You've got to be searched. I said, you've got to be searched and put in, locked up. But I said, and he said, how am I going to get out? I said, I'll give you the power when we get there to get out. So anyway, he stood up, he got searched and everything else. This is definitely God's truth, as I'm telling them. I took him to the cell, and we were putting him in the padded cell, you see. And he said, now how do I get? Now I said, yours, through my strength, I'm giving you that. Let me get away and you can tear yourself out. Well, you know what? When they went back to him, he had done $1,250 worth of damage. He ripped all the padding out of the cell, and he was sitting up in the most of the thing. And that happened there too. That was one.
Wouldn't you reckon that would have been?
Oh, that was. I'd be here, I suppose, about 2 years or 3 years. I was there. But it was funny.
And where would you be in the Senate or the House of Reps? Where
you'd just sit up in the box wherever you like. You walked around, you know, but you always had to be there.
So you were
up in the galley.
What was the relationship with the attendants? Like, were you briefed on what?
No, you did what you wanted to do. You were there to, if there was any trouble, you were there. But luckily, it was never any trouble. The only trouble is when the marches are on, I was always stuck at Parliament House. And I tell you what, it nearly happened nearly every 2 months. There's a big march there.
Mm, okay, tell me about that.
I'll tell you, who was there this day? Wait a minute. I think it was President Johnson was there. This was just a thing that happened. The march, they were marching on Parliament House Day to draw attention to whatever they were there for. Anyway, everything is going all right, and then they'd start. They brought one big bloke up there. He was gonna fix all the coppers, and he was a power weightlifter. And I was sitting out at the front, and there was three of the detectives were in, had their eye on him. They were in plain clothes. You could see them standing out like watchdogs. I had a bad leg that from wrestling. I had a bad leg that day, and I told them, I said, I'll look after Parliament House. Nobody get into Parliament House. So me and another chap. When the thing started looking like bad, Harry Luton, he was there, he panicked, and he said, you're it. He said, get out of there, So I had to get out with the sore leg and everything. And they had placards with great tin slabs on them. You know, it would have been, if they hit you, that it would drive you through the ground. Mm. Anyway, I got out, things were looking bad, and there was a lot of kids there too. And I said, listen, to take the kids away. I said, if anything starts, I said, I don't want to be, see the kids getting hurt. And so they did that. And next minute, it seemed like a wildfire. It started there, and down the line, and out of the corner of my eye, I seen the detectives, the three detectives, two of them grabbed hold of this bloke, And they're going to tell him, he's a weightlifter, a big, powerful. And he just went forward and went back, and he sent them flying. And I dodged a wave and things crashing around me till I got over to him, because I knew I had to do it. So I raced in, and I grabbed him by the arm, and it was like grabbing a leg. But I put my head against it, and I twisted his arm, I put a hamlock on it, and with him being muscle drowned, he must have been going through hell. And he was screaming. And so I ran him 70 yards to where the van was, and he didn't resist me, and he was in police to get away. But that sort of thing went on all the bloody time. It was really bad, really.
Do you remember the issues? What sort of issues were they complaining about?
I can't say, but different times where they workers and all this crowd come down, they weren't getting a proper go at in their jobs, whatever things, in that sort of thing. They were complaining about that sort of thing.
And that one, was that in the 1950s?
There was one after another, nearly every two months or more. He's a Duntry. I just can't figure it out. I was to have been a lot of blues at Duntry, and Fairbairn. There's a lot of trouble out there, and that's a bit dark on my side. What took place, but that's where a lot of things started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And with the Parliament House, if there were demonstrations happening, what would happen at the police level? Like, would you be briefed in the morning and told there's a demo and talk? What sort of
you'd be, each one would be picked for whatever he was. You'd have three or four at the Parliament House door, so nobody could get into Parliament House. And then you'd have the others scattered along, and you'd have your police van sitting not so far away in case of this. And that's the way it would go. When they lost control, well, that's when the fights would be on.
Mm-hmm.
And that was on every one. And then, to tell you, one day, I had a crooked leg, and there was a march on Parliament House. So Harry Luton, he didn't care much for me, because I seemed to be in the line stealing his like that. He said, look, Harry, give me, I'll look after the main entrance, you know. And he said, no, he said, you won't. He said, you can look after the police station. And I said, well, I'm not going. Well, that's all right. No, he said, I think they're going to march on the police station. So anyway, it was about, and I said, how many men am I going to get? He said, you won't have too many. You might have six or seven, he said. And I said, how the hell am I, if they come down here, I said, with a 1,300 or 1,400, then what am I going to do? He said, well, that's up to you. So when he went, so I said to and I got my six or seven whatever boys there were, and they came, and they said, hey, what are you going to do? Well, I said, the only thing, we can't stop them getting in this place. They can come in and take over. So this is the only way I can see of it. Take all the cars out from underneath in the garage, from underneath the police station, and then onto the thing, and then lock the two big iron doors at the back there. And I said, when they break in, I'll open the door and I'll spear them down the step. Anyway, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you could hear yells and screams coming over the Commonwealth Bridge, and there was coming about 1,300 to 1,400 of them. And they were coming down, and then they arrived at the police station, and I went out and I said, now, take it easy. I said, what do you want to know? I said, I'll answer. And all I got was bricks went through the door and everything, and they charged up at the door, and I let them open the door, and then I speared them down the thing, and went back. So I'm a centre. Well, I said, go down and tell them all about it, and down they went into the bottom of the into the car park. I end up getting 140. 40, and that was a real catch, that was. And, so, and then the others broke loose, and I think the boys in the van got another busload, and it took about 4 o'clock in the morning to fingerprint them and have them ready to put to court.
Do you say they were arrested?
They were arrested, yeah. They went into the of course they were.
Oh, wow.
That broke his heart. I think I won that one.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's a bit.
Again, do you have a rough idea when that would have been? Which
look, they all happened in the years I arrived here. They happened then, those years.
Okay, yep.
Yeah. But really, truthfully, it was on nearly every 2 or 3 months. It was on.
And were they local Canberra people usually?
No, they'd be from Sydney, from New South Wales.
Coast.
No, yeah, lodging a complaint.
Protesting.
Protesting, yeah.
And were you prepared or trained to know how to deal with protesters in that situation?
No, they didn't. You just have to depend on yourself. But I had the experience in Melbourne. You see, I had no end of experience in Melbourne, and far worse than ever here.
In Melbourne,
Oh yes,
yeah.
Melbourne. Look, a story I can give you on Melbourne. It's terrific.
But in Canberra, did you find that, like, your wrestling skills and boxing skills, did they come into use?
With me, yes. Look, that's what saved me all right through my service. I could handle myself, I trained the police here for about, 12 or 13 years. When I was at the boys' club, and before I went to the boys' club. But I trained them, and I used to, and when they bring the police in and they'd send them over to get unarmed combat and tell what to do, really truthfully, they put the wrong people in. The department apparently seemed to want education. Education was everything. Education is very far behind it. Now, the main thing, I reckon, the man out in the street is the main man that does the work. And the only way he can be is that he can handle himself. He doesn't have to worry. I never worried about it. I took on all comers. 5 and 6, I cleared a whole flame and joint, you know. Before we finish here, I'll show you in a book. They're all written out, every one of them. And you'll be surprised. I surprised myself how I handled them. But no, where they make a mistake, they should put men out on the beat that can fight. You've got to be able to fight. If you can't, you're only a waste of money. And putting girls on the street is not right. They should be on the, I'd say put them on the administration, because they would be better than the men anyway, I think. And that's what in there for the girls and that sort of thing. But they can't get out in brawls, and what can they do?
With Parliament House, did you ever have demonstrators actually break through the lines and get into the building?
Nobody fear they didn't. No way. No, we never let them get in. Mm-hmm. But it was a repetition of that all. And then when the different celebrities came out to Parliament House and that sort of thing, they'd often put one on then while that was on and this sort of thing. But, it was sort of insustainable sort of thing. It happened all of a sudden. It would blow up to a something.
So,
and then you would have to be able to do it, get in there, and they look at you, and it's no good to say, "Oh, what am I going to do?" I'd attack. And that's what got me through everything.
But tell me about some of the celebrities who came to Parliament House.
There's the Queen and Charles and what's the bride? It is the other girl.
Not Diana.
Diana, yes, yeah. They came here, and then there was President Johnson. It was here. And Prison Ontario. And I did all the escorts for those. In the lead cars and that sort of thing. I took Johnson out to Lanyon Station for him to do a. See them, and we came back, and there were the big do's at the government house. We were the escorts for that, and then the big turnouts and out at the lodge.
Yeah.
They were all there, and I went to all them too. I think we had a better time than they did.
So when Johnson came out here, you were still in the force, were you?
Oh, God, yes.
So what I said before was that you'd been in the force from 1949 to the late 50s. Yeah. Must have been late 60s.
It had to be.
Because Johnson came out in 66, was it, or 67?
I can't remember. Yeah. But I was with him all the time.
And Diana would have... They were in the 70s, 80s. It was.
And then they had the big, all the soldiers were here it was about 3,000-4,000 soldiers here. Mm. And it was a big thing.
Tell me about the Queen's visit. That was 1954, wasn't it?
I was just a lead car in that, and it was just taken from one place to another place, to the Prime Minister's lodge, to the lodge,
to Parliament House.
Parliament House. They all went there. They all been there.
So you were in the lead car.
In the lead car, in most of them, yeah.
Offering security.
It's supposed to be, yes. Yeah.
What was your role? Like, what were you told you might have? What situations did you have to be ready for in that?
Well, any situation that is there, you had to be, but I can't... They had nearly all the way along. They had police posted, foot police, nearly all the way to Parliament House.
Mm-hmm.
It was well guarded. Christ, they couldn't have did it anymore.
Did they have to bring in New South Wales police?
At one stage, we did. Now I just can't imagine what that was for. We had about 80 New South Wales police here.
That could be for the Queen's.
It could have been. I can't. But it was. They were here.
And did you get to meet the Queen?
No, not really. Not really. No. I suppose we could have, but I was very close. I could have touched her and all this sort of thing. It was good, I suppose.
What about politicians? Did you get to meet
I knew. I can't tell you the names, because now I've got old, I can't remember names. Mm. But yes, I met nearly every one of them, mm. and I had conversation with most, and I can tell you, I could have got a lot of them in trouble too. I saved a few too.
Without mentioning names, I mean, what situations did you save them?
Well, for the simple reason they get drunk, you know, they get under influence, and you get a complaint that they were something was happening, and I'll give you one incident. This was a senator. He got out of hand, and he got on the bus, and he was telling the bus he couldn't go. Because he said it was overcrowded, and he was as full as a boot. So, so we were called. I think Thurman was with me. We were called, and he said, "This bus is not going." I said, "No." I said, "Just a moment." I said, "That doesn't concern you." I said, "I'll say whether it can go or not." I said, "In my opinion, you're under the influence of drink." A drink and should be locked up, I should say, really. But I said, this bus goes. So I let the bus go. Now I got him in the car. Now I said, what do you want to do? Go and be bloody locked up, I said, or I take you take you back to where they were stopping at the hotel.
Carajong?
Out that way some anyway. And anyhow, I'll take you home. No, he said, I just really... So look, he said, take me to the Wellington. I said, listen. I said, well, look, I'll take you to the Wellington. But I said, if I've got to come to get you again, I said, you go to jail. Now, that's it. So I took him to the Wellington. And he met the... What is... His name, he's from Duntroon, he's the top boss in Duntroon.
Okay.
And he was there, and he was half stonking too. So anyway, they had a blue. And I was called back again, so I just told him, you go home. And I took the other to the pub and the drug and put him in and left him.
So you left him in the cell?
No, not the cell. No, yeah. I took him back to the where he was living.
The hotel.
It wasn't a hotel. It was like one of the big places there. But that was that. Of course, they were all in strife. Yeah.
Mm. I might just move this forward a bit.
Yeah, you're right.
Get the volume
good.
Right.
Oh, you're good.
Yeah. And you were very active, of course, in the police. Boys Club from 1949. You helped to raise money for just going to ask about, were politicians very supportive or interested in that? Wouldn't you?
They wouldn't have cared if it never. They when I was down there and I was sent there. I was sent there under and I can give you a good story on that too. After it's in the book here. I was sent down there to the boys. So I didn't want to go. But I apparently the commission and I had a blue, a blue, and he said to me, can I put this in? It's a bit rough. He said to me, he said, listen, I'll tell you why he did it. He